hello and welcome. And thank you for listening in on this special Three Ways to Grow Your Business audio program. My name is Alan McGirvan, and it's my great pleasure to host the coming sessions for you. The gentleman you're about to hear, Chris Newton, Managing Director of Result Corporation Australia, is one of the most respected authorities on strategic marketing for small and medium business in this country. He's earned that reputation by helping business owners like you and me not only dramatically to improve the results we get from the marketing dollars we're spending now, but also by helping to identify marketing opportunities most business people never even imagine exist. Importantly, he's no armchair theorist. His expertise comes from applying the lessons he's learned from the advertising greats such as David Ogilvy and John Caples, and marketing contemporaries such as America's highest paid marketing guru, Jay Abraham. It also comes from nearly 25 years of sleeves rolled up, doing it himself, risking his own money, marketing. As you'll hear, much of what Chris teaches you, he learned by spending his own hard-won money. From tiny budgets of less than $150 when promoting his fledgling retail store, to investing hundreds of thousands of dollars in marketing campaigns for Results Corporation, and from creating campaigns for a vast array of clients. His wisdom truly does come from having been there and done that. What you're about to listen to is a seminar presented by Chris to business owners, some of the 6,000 or more that Chris has spoken to date. What you'll hear is advice and experience that is 100% relevant for the business owner. The ideas and concepts you'll learn will work every bit as well for you, whether you've $500, $5,000 or $50,000 to invest in your marketing. Indeed, you'll find yourself spending much less on your marketing while earning better returns than you've ever achieved in the past. By investing the time to work through this program, you've taken a major step towards building significantly on the success of your business. Of the businesses operating today, perhaps no more than 3% will ever recognize that marketing is the one investment area that has the potential to realize enormous returns on dollars spent. Simple changes can often generate not tens of percent improvement, but thousands of percent, literally. Unlike you, most business people will continue to market their businesses the same way everyone else does, because that's what everyone else does. The truly successful business person will go out and make things get better. They zig while everyone else zags. They are innovative and are successful as a result. The purpose of this program is to give you the skills and ideas you need to take your marketing to a higher level and to shift your business into high gear. Let's join Chris now as he explores the potential that lies out there for the innovative marketer.
What I want you to do is to realize that you have in your hand enormous opportunity and potential in your business. If you want to look at it this way, there's not 5 out of 100 businesses out there that are doing anything, that are really doing anything proactive in their marketing. And it's those people who can understand the sorts of things that we are going to talk about this afternoon who will really fly. We've seen it over and over again. I was recently doing a workshop in the automotive industry, and two of the gentlemen at that workshop had been to one of our previous seminars, and one of them stood up and he said, look, I want to tell you, when I came to the first seminar, I didn't believe that I could do these things because I'm too busy. You know, I don't have time to step back from my business. I'm too busy working in it to get back and step back from it. But he said, I walked away excited from the ideas because they were so simple. And so I have to tell you, I've just worked out that I have increased my sales to the extent my bottom line profits are up 152% and my profits are up 43.1% where the rest of the market is down 3%. It's phenomenal. The other gentleman then got up and shared his figures and he was also doubled his profits. And the really exciting thing, ladies and gentlemen, is that the ideas and the concepts that they were using are so simple. In fact, what I'm going to tell you this afternoon is all common sense. I'm going to tell you ways to accelerate the growth of your customer base. Many of the ideas entail no extra expenditure on advertising. In fact, some of them suggest that you spend less on your advertising. I'm going to show you ways to increase the profitability, how to sell at the value for your product and services that you genuinely believe your products and services are worth. By the way, one of the things we will do as the afternoon goes on is we will have what we call BFOs, blinding flashes of the obvious. Here's a BFO for you, just to start off. How many of you in the room truly believe that the product or service that you're now selling is worth more than you're charging for it? Can I just see? It's worth more than you actually charge. Yeah? Why? Why would you undersell the products and services that you provide? Anyone like to tell me? Competition, yeah, exactly so. And that is the instant reaction, and thank you for that. That's the instant reaction that we tend to get. People say, if I put my prices up, the competitors will knock me off. Or if I put my prices up, people will think that I'm ripping them off. I have to tell you, they will. They will until you do one thing. Until you educate them as to why your products and services are a higher quality than you're actually charging for. You see, if we don't tell our customers and clients the value of what we do, why should we expect them to pay more for it? If we don't tell them, we deserve to be competing on price. And that's what most of us think that we have to do, is compete for the bottom dollar. We're going to talk a lot about that too. The name of this seminar is Three Ways to Grow Your Business. Now, I've been in marketing for something like 20 years, and I've still only got three ways to grow a business. I can only find three. I was hoping with Bert's client's help this afternoon, we might be able to find out some more ways to grow a business, and I'd like to ask your help on that. Because I think if we can find ways that are real simple, then we'll all be able to walk away and share those ideas. So in a moment, I'm going to ask you to become marketing experts. In fact, I'm going to take that a step further. I'm going to turn you into marketing experts in about the next 60 minutes. Would that be a good investment of time? Yeah? That's a guarantee. Firstly, let me tell you just a little tiny bit about myself, because I think it's important that you understand where I'm coming from and that this is not ivory tower theory. Because it would be so easy for me to stand up here and say, you know, you should do this and you should do that and you should do this. And in the back of your head, you're all saying, yeah, but you don't know how many phone calls I get back at the office, and you don't know how many fires I've got to fight, and you don't know how busy I am. You don't know that I'm there till 11 o'clock at night. The truth of the matter is that I do. You see, I came out of Queensland University with a degree in economics, I confess. And then I went traveling with my wife. We went overseas and we spent 4 years overseas backpacking around the world. And during that time I spent just over 18 months in South Africa and was in the direct marketing and direct mail industry. And I came back to Australia and took up the logical position for someone with 4 years of travel, advertising and marketing background. I went into the travel industry as marketing manager for Jet Set Tours in Queensland. And that was fun. I spent 2.5 years there spending OPM. Anyone know what OPM is? Yeah, other people's money. It was great. I had a budget, this is a number of years back, I had a budget of over $200,000 of somebody else's money to spend. Great experience. I learned a lot about big business and politics and boardroom politics. It was a really interesting time for me. And then, after about 2.5 years there, I had a seizure. Now, before you feel sorry for me, it's a very special sort of a seizure that I had. I had what a gentleman by the name of Michael Gerber calls an entrepreneurial seizure. An entrepreneurial seizure is when you wake up one morning and say, hey, I've been working for somebody else doing this, I could do this for myself. And you go out and buy yourself a business. Anybody here had an entrepreneurial seizure? Can I just see? Yeah? And you suffered? I mean, you all have, haven't you? You've all had this entrepreneurial seizure. So again, I did the perfectly logical thing this time with a background in advertising and marketing and 4 years of travel and an economics degree. I opened a logical business. I opened a delicatessen shop. Delicatessen. Now, you might wonder why I did that, and I ask myself sometimes, why did I do that? I really do know why I did it. I did it because during our travels, I saw that overseas, gourmet foods were sold in the most exciting ways. In France alone, I learned that there were over 400 different cheeses. And when I came back to Australia, I saw that these products were just being sold as commodities. I thought, there's got to be a better way of doing it. There's got to be a more exciting way to bring products to the marketplace than just having commodities. So I opened up a delicatessen store. Now, I have to tell you, I learned some very, very quick questions, very quick lessons about business. For a start, in the heady days, I guess, of the early 80s, I learned that when you went to the bank and asked for money, they gave it to you, you know, in big lumps. And then I subsequently learned that you had to pay it back. And it's not as easy as it sounds. Now, I didn't know very much about food. I came across a Swiss chef who gave me a crash course in food. And one of the things he did tell me, or taught me, I felt would really set me apart. If you can imagine this, day one in the store, and the doors are still down in the store, and I'm using this technique that this Swiss chef showed me. It's a technique where you take a big leg of ham and you get a long bladed knife and you cut along the bone inside the leg of ham. And then you pull the whole bone out and it leaves you with this really big, beautiful piece of meat. And then what you do is you go to the electric slicer, you know, those nice shiny stainless steel slicers, and you put it through the slicer, and as they slice off the slices off this big leg of ham, it comes onto the tissue paper on this hand in big, silk, moist slices. It just looks superb. And I hope you've had lunch because, you know, I don't want to make your stomachs rumble, but it just looks magic. So here am I absolutely entranced. I'm thinking, this is my, what we call USP, my unique selling proposition. This is going to set me apart. And I'm looking at these slices and I'm entranced. And I'm looking at them fall off. And then I just glanced up to look at the next slice coming off. And I noticed that not only was the next slice coming off, so was the top of my thumb through the slicer. No pain, just an absolute clean cut right through the top of my thumb. Well, I have to tell you, it was a pretty shocking moment for me. At that moment in time, look, I'm still reliving it, I'm holding the tip of my thumb on. At that moment in time, a thought went through my mind that's forever changed my thinking. If you can imagine it, here I am, doors still down, setting up the delicatessen cabinets. What do you think the thought was that went through my mind at that moment? Yeah, it certainly wasn't, hey, more meat for the delicatessen cabinet. The thought was, who the hell is going to run my business? I've just cut my thumb off. Here I am, this is my business, I'm the only one in it. My wife at that stage had two little children at home. Who the hell's going to run my business? Very lonely time. I realized at that moment in time that no one comes along on a big white charger with, you know, in armor and picks you up and says, it's all right, Chris, I'll pay your bills for you, I'll pay the overheads, I'll run your business for you until you're okay again. It's very lonely. Has anyone had an experience like that? I don't mean cutting your thumb off. You ever had any lonely experience in your business? Yeah, we all have. Being in business, being in small business particularly, is one of the most challenging and demanding, exhausting, tiring and frustrating things you can possibly do. I realized something else when I was in my business. It took me close on 12 months to be able to get to a point where my nostrils were just enough above water that I could start thinking about even promoting my business, for goodness sakes. And it hit me that here I am, I've got a background in economics, I've got a background in marketing and advertising, and I can't even get time to promote my business. How can I expect to be presumptuous enough to tell other business people who maybe don't even have those areas of skill to go and market their business? So how could you possibly do this? But then a few other revelations came to me in my business. As I did get the opportunity to grow it, as my nostrils got a little bit above water, I started to promote. I started to spend not my $200,000 of OPM, other people's money, I started to spend or invest maybe $50 in a local paper advertisement or $150 in a letterbox drop to the local area. I started gaining the names and addresses of my customers and writing out to them. Little tiny amounts, but it started to work. And the more I did it, the more it worked. And I realized that there was a key here somewhere. And I'm going to share that key with you this afternoon. Interestingly, though, and the more I did, the more I started to grow my business and at times actually pack the store with people, my own customers would come to me and say, look, I wonder if I could ask you something, Chris. I've got a little engineering business, or I've got a little landscaping business, or I've got a florist shop, or I've got an accounting firm. How would I go about promoting my business? How would I, where would I start? Where would I go to get a brochure printed? How do I start writing an ad? I've never been able to get my advertising to work before. And people started asking this, and I actually started consulting to people over the delicatessen counter at night with the doors down and drawing ads on the back of my delicatessen packets. Perhaps the greatest lesson I learned at that point was a key question to ask. You see, when people would say, you know, help me write an ad, the first thing I had to do was to find out a little bit more about the business, their business. And I'd say, why should anyone buy from you? Why should someone buy from you? Now, I want you to ask yourself this question, ladies and gentlemen. In your own business, why should someone buy from you? Does anyone know the answer for their business right now? Another BFO in that, I hope. Because if you can't think yourself instantly, why should someone buy from me? How can you expect other people to know why should they should buy from you? Think about that. So I asked these people, why should I buy from you? And they would say, well, I don't know, we're an engineering firm just like every other engineering firm. We've got the same tolerances and pretty well the same equipment. I don't know. And then they'd say something like, well, when we got into business in the first place, we thought we could change the world. You know, we thought we'd do something really special in this particular industry. We'd really do some special things for our customers. And the more I probed, the more I asked and delved deeper and deeper into their reasons why they got into the business in the first place, the more the passion came through. And then I'd get the most amazing stories coming out that say, you know, when we began, there were times when we would work till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning to finish an order to deliver to our customer and clients because we made a promise to them. And even now, you know, we will, if we have an order and we've made a promise, we'll drive across town if we have to and buy something retail to provide to our own customers, even if we make a loss on it. That's our commitment. That's what we're all about. And suddenly their passion would come through. They'd tell me about all these stories of how they went the extra mile, how someone would come in looking for a particular product, they'd make phone calls to Sydney, they'd make phone calls to the Orient or wherever it was to find out, to track down this particular thing for their clients. And then I'd ask them a really key question, and it's a question I want to ask you. And the question is this. If you're doing all of those things for your clients, do you ever think to actually tell your clients that you do them? BFO, blinding flash of the obvious time again. When I was relating that little story about people working till 2 o'clock in the morning and driving across town and selling things at a loss and making phone calls and chasing all over town for their clients, how many of you in the room actually said to yourself, we do that? Can I just see? Isn't that interesting? How many of your clients do you actually tell that you do these things? You don't, do you? We keep it the best kept secret on the planet. And then, as I said before, we expect people to understand that we're providing a higher level of service and a higher product quality. Truth is, we don't deserve to charge any more until we've educated people to the extra things that we do. I'll give you the classic story. I guess about 6 months ago, I was asked by one of the photographic groups, it was Hanamex Fuji, to travel around Australia and talk to their 300 mini labs, their Fuji image plazas. Now, as I do whenever I talk to any industry group, I do a lot of research because you don't want to walk in there and try to tell them how to run their business without at least knowing what their business is. So I spent a lot of time reading the literature and then going out and talking to the owners of these mini labs in their own premises. I learned a lot. And as it got to the end of my round of visits, I thought, I'm going to really try to get a reaction here and just see the inside these people's heads. And I walked into one of the Fuji Image plazas in the region of the Gold Coast. And there was a lady behind the counter. And I walked in and I introduced myself. My name is Chris Newton. I'm doing a series of seminars for Fuji Image Plazas. And I'd just love to spend some time talking to you about your business. Would that be okay? And she said, yeah, fine. And I said, look, I don't know how to quite say this to you, but I think you're ripping your customers off. I thought I'd get a reaction out of her. And she looked at me and she was absolutely shocked. And she said, what do you mean? And I said, well, I've just noticed your prices are $12.95 for a set of prints. And I've just been down to the chemist shop down the road. And they're charging $9.95 for the same number of prints. So clearly you're ripping your customers off. And she said, we are not. She said, we've got better what? Better service and better quality. That's exactly what she said. And that's what everyone says in business when I ask them, you know, what have you got to set you apart from your competitors? Everyone says, we've got better service and we've got better quality. Trouble is, everyone's saying it. So I thought, I'm going to live on thin ice here. I'm going to take this a little step further. So I said to the lady, look, I hate to tell you this, but I've just been down to the chemist shop down the road and I asked them about their product and service, and guess what they said? They had really terrific what? Service and quality. You've got it. They just said they've got good service and quality, so clearly you must be ripping your customers off. And the story would be really colourful if I could say she grabbed me at that time. She didn't physically grab me, but she could have, the way she looked at me. She looked at me and she said, I want you to come with me. I want you to come with me. And she said, and she started walking around the back of the counter. And she took me around the back and she pointed to a machine about three times as big as this one. And she said, see that? I said, yes. She said, that's an $80,000 computer controlled print processor. And I said, yes. And she said, well, look what it does. And she pulled up a stool and she took down a strip of film, negatives. And she put it through the little viewer window that was in front of her. And she said, see that? She said, that's in negative, but I've been trained for 5 years on how to see what that'll look like in positive. And I go through every single print. That's what we do at a Fuji Image Plaza. We go through every print individually, and we visually check it. And our computer-controlled print processor is specially programmed to color correct. If it's too warm or too cool, in other words, if there's too much red in it or too much blue in it, it will color correct. And if I don't think from my 5 years of experience that it's still right, I've got this little keyboard over here. See the keyboard? She said to me, I said, yeah. She said, I can punch in commands here and I can color correct that even more. And then she said, not only that, when the prints are printed out, we go through each and every print before we put it in the envelope. And if there's a print there that is not up to our own performance standards in our store, we throw it in the rubbish bin and we do it again for the customer at no cost. And she said, not only that, if you know anything about colour prints, you'll know that the paper on a lot of prints fades after a number of years. We don't want our clients' memories to fade. So we use a more expensive, specially created paper, more expensive than the opposition competitors. And I was absolutely in raptures at this story. And I said to her, that's a terrific story. Tell me, what do your customers say when you tell them this story? She said, oh, we don't tell the customers. We don't tell anybody that we do these things. Can you see what she had there? She had what I call the magic story. She had the most wonderful story of quality, of service, of commitment to excellence, and yet it was the best kept secret on the planet. If she were only able to articulate that and to explain to her customers what she was doing for them, it may well have had a profound difference on the way that her customers perceived her business. It was the best kept secret on the planet. I'll give you an example how you can, what we call, make the invisible visible. How do you make the invisible things that we do visible? What did I say she did with the prints that she looked at and were not up to her own personal performance standards? What did she do with them? She threw them in the rubbish bin. What would have happened, ladies and gentlemen, if she had have taken those prints and put a big fat sticker on it that said, these are the prints that failed our performance standards. We've reprinted them for you at our expense, but we thought you'd like to see the difference in quality. Put a big sticker on it. What do you think might happen? You know, like, these are the ones that John West rejected sort of message on there. Can you see how that would have made the invisible really visible? I want you to ask yourself this. How many of you in this room have got stories like that you are keeping a best kept secret? Let me ask you, just please put your hand up. How many of you have got stories? Hey, look at that. Isn't that interesting? Thank you. Isn't that interesting that you have got these stories and you don't tell anybody? A lot of what we're going to talk about this afternoon in this journey of common sense marketing and common sense growing of a business really has to do with simply articulating and telling people the things that you already do.
Let's just take a break for a moment. We've covered a lot of ground in a short time, so let's recap on some of the things we've discussed so far. The major issue Chris wants you to understand from that session is that of perceived value. From your client's or customer's point of view, perception is the reality. So until you take the time to educate them to the value of the products or services you're providing for them, they can only judge you according to their perceptions. If you take no more time than anyone else to explain the benefits of your product or service in terms that are relevant to your customers or clients, then you have no right to expect that they'll value what you do for them any more than they value anyone else in your industry. And what that means is the only thing they've left to make a purchasing decision on is price. So take the time to sit down and answer the question, why should someone buy from you? It'll be very worth your while. And while you're doing that, get specific. Stay away from the generalities of better service, better quality, and define how and why your service is better and how and why your quality is better. Do that in terms your customers care about, and you'll be streets ahead. You might like to take a break now and work on that right now. Once you've done that, join Chris again as he moves on to what I believe to be one of the most exciting parts of this program. You're about to learn the most profound formula for business success I've ever heard. By the way, turn to pages 9 and 10 in your workbook. You'll need the worksheet there for this session.
So let's move on. What I'd like to do is build on this and start with the concept of the three ways to grow a business. Now, as I said to you at the outset, I want you to be the marketing experts for me here. I want you to draw on your vast experience now. We're going to take a business and I want you to be the marketing consultants. If I told you, we'll take a hypothetical little business. It's, let's say, a menswear store. And it's here in town somewhere. How many of you, let's say it's a couple of $100,000 business, not a big business, how many of you in the room right now, without my going any further, believe honestly that you could go in there and dramatically impact the sales and profitability of that business? Let's say add $60,000 to their turnover. Who's got the skills to do it right now? Interesting, I think. Yeah, there's a couple of you who, yeah, and I believe you could too. I absolutely believe you could. For two reasons. One, because you say you can, and it's a great indication that you could do it. But number two, and more importantly, nobody is doing anything out there in business, really, as you will see. So if you go and do something, it's going to make an impact. How would it be if in the next 45 minutes, I can get you to confess that you really could grow that business by $60,000. Would it be an interesting little exercise? Yep. Would be, wouldn't it? To do that, I need your help. I need you to help me come up with some ways and means to actually grow that business. So when we go down there and consult to them tomorrow, for example, we've got the tools. What are the tools we have at our disposal? Let's say we're going to grow their customer base. What sort of tools have we got? What marketing tools have we got?
Referrals,
that's a great one, referrals. Fantastic. What else have we got? Referrals, what else? Your existing customers, terrific. So we could nurture the existing customers. This is terrific stuff. What else have we got? Okay, we've got walk-through traffic, so we've got our position, let's say, our retail position, if it's a retail store. What about advertising? No one's mentioned advertising. How many of you in the room now spend hard dollars on advertising? Can I just see? Okay, interesting. How many of you who spend hard dollars on your advertising have this sneaking suspicion that it doesn't work in many cases, that it really, yeah? Yeah. How would you like to know how to make ads really work? Would that be a help? Great, because we're going to do that this afternoon as well. So let's take advertising. We can take advertising. We can take direct mailings. Any of you direct mail? Do direct mail now? Yep, you do? Terrific. Direct mailings.
Publicity.
Publicity, yep. Okay. Do you want another BFO before we go on? Let me give you another BFO. The idea of referrals came up before. This is another blinding flash of the obvious, I suspect, for many of you. How many of you in this room right now genuinely believe that a substantial, if not majority, of your existing business comes from word of mouth and referrals? Can I see? How much of you? Yeah? Nearly every one of you. Nearly every one of you gets a substantial proportion, if not a majority, of your business from referrals. Let me ask you this. Please put your hand up if you have a system for generating referrals. Can I just see? Congratulations to the four of you. To the rest of you, blinding flash of the obvious. If you have got a vast proportion of your business coming from referrals and you're not doing anything to get those referrals, the future of your business is in the lap of the gods, wouldn't you say? It's a fair comment. Future of your business is largely in the lap of the gods. What would happen if you could create a referral system that turned that business on and off like a tap? So when you needed more business, you generate it. When you've got enough business, just turn the tap off. Would that be worth having? We're going to have a look at that this afternoon as well. But that's another one of these blinding flashes of the obvious. We get so close to our own business. We tend to, I guess, get blinded. We get blinkers on to the opportunities that are around us. Most people, when they think about growing their business, are focusing on the hard things, these marketing and advertising things, when in most of the potential in a business is already resident within the business. It's just a matter of knowing where to look. And referrals is a very, very exciting part of that. However, let's move on here. What tools do we have, for example, to, let's say, with this little menswear store, to get the profitability up, get the profitability and the margins up in the business? What can we do? Say again? Go to the suppliers and what? Get a bigger, better range of stock, let's say? All right, reduce the cost is certainly a good way to do it, but also increase the range of stock, because that's going to increase the dollar value, because you're going to have more stock there to sell. So that's going to increase it. What else can we do to increase the margins? Smile a lot? Good. I'm going to put that under the category. It's June, is it? Jane. Sorry, Jane. I'm going to put that under the category of training, because I truly believe that training our people is something that we all pay lip service to. And if we can truly understand the power of training our people it just unlocks vastly more potential. Again, it's got nothing to do with advertising, nothing to do with going outside. It's what's already happening within. What else can we do to get the profit margins up, let's say?
Reduce costs.
Reduce costs, yeah, we've sort of talked about that. What's the other side of that coin?
Increase the prices,
absolutely so. Increase the prices. Now, some people would say, heresy! Increase the prices? How dare you? Don't you know times are tough? Don't you know that if we increase the prices, people will walk away from us in droves and we'll go out of business? And so you deserve to do if you're not providing the higher quality of service and quality of product to justify that higher price. However, as you, most of you said to me when we began this little journey, yes, I am providing a service or a product at a higher level than I'm charging for. So increasing the prices is a perfectly valid strategy to increase your profit margins. Perfectly valid, providing you can deliver the services at that higher level.
This ends side one of your cassette. Please turn over immediately for continuation on side two.